sermon on Daniel chapter 2 is the second in our series in the book of Daniel. It was recorded at our new 9 a.m. Ravenna congregation on the 20th of October and is titled God Reveals. For more information on Salt Church, visit us online, www.salt.church.
Well, he stood before millions. It was one of those memorable memorial moments. The spotlight of the world was on him, an international event of great political significance, now remembered for all the wrong reasons. He stood alongside presidents. He stood alongside prime ministers, ministers of religion, ministers of politics, a grieving widow and her family as they stood before a grieving nation. His job was to make clear the unknown. People were depending upon him. His job was to interpret what was said, to help people understand, interpreting every word into sign language so the deaf people could understand. But Thamsanqua Junti was a fake. He was an imposter, pretending to be someone he wasn't, pretending to know something that he didn't. Employed by the government of South Africa, Junti interpreted the memorial service of Nelson Mandela for the deaf. Only he wasn't an interpreter at all. He was a bogus criminal from Johannesburg. As the leaders of the world paid tribute to Nelson Mandela, he added to the confusion and the chaos of the crowd. He didn't understand sign language, and those who did didn't understand him, making childish hand gestures so that no one could understand, an interpreter that no one could interpret. We live in a confusing world, don't we? A world that requires interpretation. Even if all of your senses are available to you this morning, it's hard to make sense of things, isn't it? In a world filled with fear and confusion and chaos, it's hard to make sense of everything, hard to make sense of anything. A world that requires interpretation, and there are plenty of interpreters on offer for us. Politicians, economists, environmentalists, to be sure, but also doctors and lawyers and psychologists and teachers and parents provide a narrative, all offering another way for us to look at the world, a way to live, a way to interpret life. But friends, in a world that requires interpretation, God reveals his everlasting kingdom. In a world of chaos and confusion, God is all-powerful. God is in control. Instead of only listening to life's interpreters, we need to hear from the one who speaks to us directly. God is the revealer of mysteries. His word clears away our confusion. God speaks every language. Human confusion that began at the Tower of Babel, now God's clarifying word revealed in Babylonian exile. Friends, God understands your grief. He speaks into our chaos and our pain. Only God knows the future. And only God offers to take your hand and to lead you through it. God comes to us. And that's what Daniel chapter 2 is all about. In a world that requires interpretation, God reveals his everlasting kingdom. In spite of our present circumstances, God is all-powerful. God is in control. So live for the kingdom that lasts forever. The Old Testament book of Daniel begins with crisis. God's people taken into exile for their sins. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has taken Judah's kingdom, possessions and people. If you were here with us last week for Daniel chapter 1, we saw that in a world where kings take, God gives. God gives his people to the Babylonians. God gives them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. But God also gives Daniel favor and compassion. God gives Daniel learning and skill and wisdom, given understanding in all visions and dreams. In Babylon, he's 10 times better than everyone else. See those words again, Daniel chapter 1, verse 19. Among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. Wisdom and understanding come from God. It comes from the fear of the Lord. And in a kingdom where God's people are slaves, exiled into slavery because of their sins, Daniel stands before Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Daniel, he had a dream job, didn't he? He lives and he serves before a king. But Nebuchadnezzar must have been daydreaming because he's already forgotten about Daniel's wisdom and knowledge. Nebuchadnezzar has a vision that requires explanation, a dream that needs interpretation. But in chapter 2, verse 1, Daniel is nowhere to be seen. Would you see it with me? Chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dream. In every matter that the king inquires of Daniel, Daniel was 10 times better than everyone else. But one chapter and 1 year later, Nebuchadnezzar has forgotten all about him. King Nebuchadnezzar's having dreams. And inexplicably, he's not inquiring of Daniel. In fact, it won't be until Daniel inquires of the king in verse 14 that Daniel will stand before Nebuchadnezzar again. Maybe it's because Nebuchadnezzar was troubled. Maybe it's because he was deprived of sleep. But Nebuchadnezzar calls in his dream team and he makes inquiry of them. Magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and Chaldeans. Chaldeans are people from the land of Chaldea, unsurprisingly, now in what's called southwestern Iraq. Nebuchadnezzar wants them to explain his dream to him. He wants them to interpret it for him. See that with me in verse 3. Then the king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream." The Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servant the dream, and we will show you the interpretation." It's a reasonable request from the interpreters, don't you think? Tell us what you saw, and we'll tell you what it means. I mean, that's their job, right? That's how interpretation works, explaining the information that's been provided for you. It's here in the book of Daniel that Daniel stops being written in Hebrew and is starting to be written in Aramaic. And if that isn't confusing enough for you, especially if you can't read Hebrew or Aramaic, it becomes clear that more than an interpretation is being required. Nebuchadnezzar also wants them to tell him his dream. If they tell the dream and its interpretation, Nebuchadnezzar will give gifts and rewards and great honor. But if all of that just sounds impossible, well, that's because it is impossible. Listen to the Chaldeans' protest in verse 10. "There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." The Chaldeans, they foretold the future by looking at the stars. The signs of the zodiac had their origins from Babylonian culture. They told people's fortunes by reading the livers of sheep. Please don't ask me how that works. But even they know that the details of a king's dream could only be known by the gods, and they don't even know God. Listen to them again. "No man on earth can meet the king's demand, and the gods don't dwell with the flesh." Nebuchadnezzar, he threatens them with violence to reduce their homes to rubble, to tear them apart limb from limb. But these magicians and the enchanters, they're already tearing out their own hair. They can't deliver what the king's expecting of them. They can't tell Nebuchadnezzar what dream he had. It's too difficult for anyone. So it's too difficult for everyone. You see, what started as a dream for the king of Babylon has become a nightmare for everyone in the kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar loses his patience, and all the wise men are about to lose their heads. Look there at verse 12. The king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions, see it there, to kill them. But before we hear from Daniel, who is remarkably calm considering the severity of this situation, looking there with me, replying with wisdom and discretion, slowing down the entire process, trying to understand all the issues, making requests, not making demands. By comparison, Nebuchadnezzar is deeply troubled, the world's most powerful king. He can't even sleep at night. His promises are disproportionate as his threats. It's all or nothing, isn't it? Riches or ruin, honor or horror. And even his threats and promises, they don't make any sense. Killing all the wise men won't help him understand his dream any. Killing them won't provide him with any of the answers that he wants. Literally, if he kills them all, he'll be none the wiser. Nebuchadnezzar is full of questions, and his usual sources and sorcerers don't have any answers for him. So let me ask you this question. Who do you think is in control in this situation? The king of Babylon? Or this exiled Judean named Daniel? And when it comes to crisis and chaos, when things are troubling and unclear for you, which of these two men are you most likely to be like? Angry and furious because you're all out of options and don't have any answers. Troubled and having trouble sleeping nights, making rash and regrettable decisions. Is that you? Is that how you operate? Or are you wise and discerning, seeking to slow things down to understand, not knowing all the answers, but knowing the one who does? See it with me. Daniel seeks an audience with the king of Babylon and gathers an audience for the King of Kings. Just as God gave Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams, now God reveals Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel. Listen with me as Daniel prays in verse 20. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Daniel knows the God who knows. The God who reveals himself to Daniel. Israel's wisest man said in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And now on his knees, seeking answers, with a death sentence hanging over his head, Daniel demonstrates not a fear of his present circumstances, but the fear of the Lord. Friends, wisdom and knowledge come from God. See it with me. He is the revealer of mysteries. In a world that requires interpretation, God makes himself known. God is the giver of wisdom and knowledge because God is the source of all knowledge and wisdom. And if you want to know what the future brings, ask God. He reveals himself to us. So it's not that Daniel is in control. Nebuchadnezzar, he's not even in control of himself, is he? It's that God is all-powerful. God is in control. The wise men, the enchanters, the magicians, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers, they can't reveal the mysteries of God. They can't tell Nebuchadnezzar his dream. But God is the revealer of mysteries. See it with me in verse 27. No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in latter days. God of heaven makes known what the future brings. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar's dream is about. A dream that reveals that God is all-powerful and in control, and that's the interpretation of his dream as well. So why don't you see with me what Nebuchadnezzar saw? Verse 31. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of its image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. That's what Nebuchadnezzar saw. Then a stone no human could cut strikes the image. The iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver and the gold, it all comes crashing down, all smashed into pieces. Then the stone that struck the image becomes a mountain that fills the whole earth. That's a pretty weird dream. But I've had weirder dreams than that. Only mine included a goat, a blowtorch, and a jet ski. But it's pretty clear what Nebuchadnezzar's dream is about, don't you think? It's pretty obvious what it all means. Don't bother the wise men with it, Neb. Just eat your cornflakes, mate. It's only a dream. Except it's not only a dream, is it? It's revelation from God. And that's what Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar. This is what the God of heaven is about to do. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, God made him, Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold. See it with me, verse 37. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and into whose hand he has given wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you ruler over them all, you are the head of gold. Sounds a little bit like the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? A little bit like Adam's job description in Eden. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. The God of heaven has given it all to you, Nebuchadnezzar, the children of men, the birds of the field, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air. You rule over all of them. But golden heads are about to roll. As kingdom after kingdom after kingdom rise up and take over Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. You know, many have tried to guess who the four kingdoms are, what empire each of these materials represent. Is it Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece? Is it Babylon, Persia, Greece, and then Rome? Are they all modern kingdoms and empires? Where does Donald Trump fit into all of this? Well, to be honest, doesn't really matter, does it? And that's the point here, isn't it? All of these kingdoms are set to crumble. I mean, who would have thought that a giant statue with a golden head and clay feet might topple over? In a world that requires interpretation, God reveals his everlasting kingdom. The kingdoms of the world are about to be crushed, crushed by the rock that becomes a mountain. See that with me, verse 44. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Next time you're watching the news, why don't you remember verse 44? And friends, now with the Babylonian Empire set to collapse, with his entire kingdom set to fall, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the golden head who momentarily rules the world, falls on his face before Daniel, a Judean exile, as revelation now gives way to God's eternal reality. See, God is all-powerful. God is in control. Daniel is highly honored for his interpretation, given many gifts for retelling the king his dream, promoted to rule over the Babylonian Empire along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, providentially promoted to rule over the province But they're temporary promotions, aren't they? Because the kingdom is now temporary. Because God has revealed his eternal kingdom. God is the revealer of mysteries, and even Nebuchadnezzar can work that one out for himself. Look there at verse 47. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." Before you say your prayers, little one, and drift off into Never Never Land, the God is a revealer of mysteries. And he has revealed and he has appeared and revealed all mysteries to us. You know, we wonder about the future and we wonder what might happen and we think what it might bring. But I want you to see from Daniel chapter 2 that in a world that requires interpretation, a world of confusion filled with fear and chaos, that God has made clear the unclear, that he makes known the unknown and the unknowable to us. Listen carefully now. In a world that requires interpretation, God is a revealer of mysteries. And while the wise and the wishful say, "Yeah, in your dreams," God says, "No, in the flesh." You don't need an interpreter. God gives us revelation. He speaks to us directly in his word. Here, let me show you the mystery. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." In a world that requires interpretation, God reveals. The Babylonian Brains Trust, they believe that God doesn't dwell with flesh. But God in the flesh makes his dwelling with us. The word became flesh, the wisdom and knowledge of God revealed to us in Jesus. The only word that clears away confusion, the only word that speaks every language, plain, simple, easy to understand, Jesus, the only Son of the everlasting Father. Friends, God comes to us. And while you wonder about the future, what's going to happen now? What are we going to do next? What does all of this now mean? I'm hoping that you can see that you don't need to lose sleep over this anymore. And that you don't need to lose your mind or even your temper. Because even though you don't have all the answers, you can know the one who does. Seek an audience with the King of Kings. Because God is all powerful and he is in control. And God has revealed his eternal plans to you, so we can live for the kingdom that lasts forever. You see, friends, the hand that holds your hand and the hand that comes to lead you into the future are the very same hands that were nailed to a cross, nailed to secure your future in the eternal kingdom of God that lasts forever. So in spite of our present circumstances, keep living for the kingdom that lasts for eternity. Safe and secure in God's everlasting kingdom, nailed so that we might know our future. See, the future isn't something to be afraid of. It's no longer a mystery, is it? God reveals. Let's pray. Father, we don't know what tomorrow brings, but this we know, that you have established your kingdom forever and ever. And that while the kingdoms of the world and our own plans might fall and collapse, we thank you that your kingdom will last for all eternity. Thank you that you've revealed to us the mystery of what will be, and that is your reign as king forever and ever. and that you have secured us, your people, through the death of your Son, the one who took on flesh and made his dwelling among us, secured for us your eternal kingdom. Help us to know that the fear of the Lord means not being afraid of our present circumstances, but living for the kingdom that lasts forever. For those of us who are uncertain about life, unsure about tomorrow, unclear about the direction you're taking us, we ask you, our great God, to speak clearly to us. Help us to seek an audience with you, the King of Kings. Because even though we don't know all the answers, we know that you do. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.